So I invite you to ponder this morning. Can darkness overcome light? In our bulletin, I have the title, Can Darkness Overcome Light?, which is really a preposterous kind of proposition. Can darkness overcome light? Because if you really think about it in terms of the physics of it, in terms of the physics, just the raw science of it, light is a thing. Okay? Light is something. And darkness is a nothing. Darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. And therefore, when you talk about light, you're talking about an energy source. You're talking about a light that will illumine the darkness. Darkness cannot overpower light in the same way that light can overpower darkness. You follow me on that? Darkness does not prevail. It is scattered and sent running to the edges by the source of light. Now that really fits well with our scriptures that teach us that when we talk about God, that we're talking about light, that God is light and in God there is no darkness. That Jesus Christ, the light of the world, dispels the darkness. Light is a thing and darkness is a nothing. That's probably enough of a sermon right there just to end it and say, okay, let's ponder that for a little while. But it's true, isn't it? That darkness is, you know, you have to have light even to have shadows. You have to have a source of light to cast a shadow on a panel or on a floor or a wall. You have to have light to make a shadow. And if we only talk about shadows, then we're only talking about darkness. Give you a little bit of theology here. Light represents God in Genesis and in Revelation, both ends of the scriptures. At the beginning, at the end, and all in between where we live, there is light. And, well, in the in-between parts, there's also a whole lot of darkness. You have your own. You have your own shadows in your life and in your family and in your part of the world. Do you think darkness can overcome light? In physics, no. But in faith, yes, if we let it. Darkness can overcome light. That is, if we welcome it, the darkness. God has created us in this life with a freedom. A freedom to embrace light or to embrace the darker side. And there's a whole lot of darkness in the world. If you hadn't found that out, you have some surprises coming. There's a whole lot of darkness in our world. We have a choice to let our light shine or to hide it under a bushel. I'm not sure what a bushel is, but I always pictured it as one of those old wicker baskets. It was a bushel basket. Remember those? That if you put that down over a candle, there wouldn't be any light at all that got out of that. If it did, it was a little bitty sliver between those wicker waves. We have a choice to let our light shine, or in scripture language, to hide it under a bushel. A bushel is a certain amount of measure. It's some 8 gallons, I understand. It's often used for produce. Well, 8 gallons of hiddenness or darkness can easily overwhelm you. Darkness is the absence of light. So darkness can overcome light? In physics, some say it can. A black hole, for example. A black hole is defined as a region of space having a gravitational field so intense that no matter or radiation, and light is radiation, no radiation can escape from it. That is a black hole. Don't let the name fool you, though. A black hole is anything but empty space. Rather, it's a great amount of matter packed into a very small area. Think of a star that's 10 times more massive than the sun, that's squeezed into a sphere approximately the diameter of New York City. In galactic terms, that's pretty small. The result is a gravitational field that is so strong that nothing can escape from it, not even light. Even the molecules of light are pulled back in to the center. In recent years, NASA instruments have painted a new picture of these strange objects that are, to some, to many, in fact, the most fascinating objects in space. A black hole. Though the term wasn't coined until 1967 by Princeton physicist John Wheeler, the idea of an object in space so massive and so dense that light could not escape has been around for centuries. Most famously, black holes were predicted by Einstein's theory of gravitational relativity. That sounds pretty technical, doesn't it? But that just simply shows that when a massive star dies, it leaves behind a small and very dense remnant, a core. And that core, when it's left behind, is very needy and very aggressive. It needs light. And if the core's mass is more than about 3 times the mass of our sun, the equation showed that the gravity overwhelms the other forces and produces what we have called and come to know as a black hole. Basically, a black hole sucks in light. It eliminates life. Light. It does not give off light. It sucks it in and holds it like a vacuum cleaner. But there's good news in that for people of faith. Jesus does just the opposite. Jesus is the light of the world. And I say, like on Christmas Eve, that all the darkness in the world cannot overcome the light of one single candle. But these days we're not talking about darkness as being just the absence of light. We're talking about darkness as being evil, the dark side of the force. Not just an absence of light, but a presence. A dark presence. Darkness is real. So can darkness overcome light? Can darkness in the physical world overcome light? I know it's an ominous title for a sermon, but I just wanted to raise the question, the possibility, and I find it a little disturbing. We want to believe that good always wins. That's what fairy tales are about, right? I want to believe that there's more of God's goodness in the world than just fairy tales. And I want to be assured that there is more of God's light in the world than all of the darkness that we could imagine. But there is evidence for the darkness. Darkness thrives. Read the newspaper. The dark side of the force is alive and well. It happens in our own community and in our own neighborhood. So darkness can overcome light? I know that's an ominous title for a sermon. Can darkness overcome light? Just raising the question, the possibility of it, is kind of disturbing. We want to believe that good always wins. That's what fairy tales are about, right? I want to believe that there's more of God's goodness in the world than just fairy tales. And I want to be assured that there's more of God's light in the world than all of the darkness that we can imagine. But there's evidence for the darkness. Darkness seems to thrive. Read the newspaper. The dark side of the force is alive and well. And it's we humans who keep it alive. But that's not new. Nothing new. Darkness was the first thing in creation. Evening and morning were the first day. It took both. Evening and morning. But no light was created until God began the story of creation. And in that story, I'll bet that you, like me, thought that light was created on the day that the sun was created. In the Genesis version, go ahead and give me that. We're talking about Old Testament, ancient creation story. But even in that, if you read it carefully, you will see that light was created days before the sun was created. What an amazing discovery that is. That light was prevalent and light was involved and light was created in God's world way before the sun was created. Read Genesis 1. In the eyes of science, it is God's light, the light of the world. And significantly, it's said that in creation, the beings loved the darkness more than the light. That is so human. But the physical reality is that light always wins. Darkness is simply the absence of light. And when darkness seems to prevail, well, all the darkness of the world cannot overcome the light of one single candle. In fact, the darker the darkness, the more that single light illumines. Light gathers darkness together and consumes it. No wonder Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." No wonder God says, God is the light of the world, and in God there is no darkness. Have you noticed? Children are almost universally afraid of the dark. Some adults, too. I've spent a fair amount of time in younger days in a dark room for photography. You actually get to where you can see in that darkness after a while, and that alone is a little scary. We have choices, though. We can hide our light under a bushel, a basket of reeds. But in physics, we cannot stop the light. In life and in faith, we can. We can consume it like a black hole and keep it for ourselves. And only God gives us the freedom to choose which. We can suck in the light and hold on to it. Or we can reflect it to the dark world. And I believe that when we reflect God's light, it grows. Did you see the opening of the Olympics? All the little drones of light forming in the sky to a grand image. Anyone who has ever seen that can call it poking holes in the darkness. We all are little lights, as lights of Christ and reflectors of His grace and His love. We all, each of us, are little lights poking holes in the darkness. So can darkness overcome light? In physics, I don't think so. Because light is energy and darkness is the absence of that energy. But in faith and in life, yes, it can. Anyone who's ever been depressed can confirm that darkness can easily overcome light. But God gives us the freedom to choose. Have you noticed that the darker it is, the more difference the light makes? And all the darkness in the world cannot overcome or overwhelm the light of one single candle. It's up to you and your people to be and become that candle. Don't try to do it alone. Involve your family, your work, your peers, your people. You've got people. To reflect the light of Christ in the world and to make a difference. And it's up to you to be the spark. So there is darkness in the world. You tell me. I see you nodding. Yeah, there is darkness. But yes, there is also light. Sometimes we just have to be awakened to see it. No one can see light with their eyes closed. So, wake up. See the light. Watch the glow. Catch the flame. And bear the light and be the light in a world that needs guidance and direction and something to hold on to. Be a light that people can follow. Walk in the light and call others to follow in its glow.